Seriously on Three of Hearts. Agents Vellum and Felspar attended Bridge, Clovenheart's church, where Mayor Thorne urged Spar to join in by drawing a prophetic playing card, granting him a bonus to charm and luck in love. Afterward, the pair visited Sekitan in the infirmary, and in addition to revealing the location of Diamond's hotel room in Cindershore, their conversation brought up painful memories regarding the death of Vellum's parents. As Vellum confided in Spar, the two shared a kiss.
Who breaks the kiss first?
That's what I was about to ask you.
All right. How about this? Let's flip a card and then we'll shuffle it back in our deck. And whoever gets the higher card breaks the kiss.
Okay.
I pulled a 6.
I got a 10.
Okay. So Vellum is the first to stop kissing.
So Vellum pulls back and is, you know, a little bit flushed, a little bit dazed. I don't think he expected Spar to kiss back. I don't think he expected to kiss Spar either. It just sort of happened.
Spar looks up at him and is like, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Well, he brushes his hands off on his slacks. Agent Vellum,
Vellum, you know, winces a little bit.
Spar does not see because he's like looking at the trees, he's looking at the ground, he's looking at Vellum's cane. it's been a troublesome and exciting 2 days that we have known each other, and this is a very normal reaction to stress. And I think they're in the handbook, that there's a field agent handbook that I should get you a copy of. It has a section about stress kissing, and that would be very helpful, I think, for you. So just know that it is extremely common, and you don't have to worry. It happens to everybody.
I see. He clears his throat. I'm sorry if I made you uncomfortable.
No. Professionalism.
Right.
Yeah. We should go talk to the... And then he winces. Whittles bees. Before that, are you okay? I know that the conversation with Sekitan was a lot, and we can take a break. Or you can. I can. We can. Whatever.
Yeah. Let's head over to the Whittlesby's, and I may stand outside for a little bit and just kind of collect myself.
Of course. Yes. Of course. Whatever you need. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I imagine we have a quiet walk through Clovenheart on the way to the Whittlesby Watermill.
Vellum pointedly does not say sorry back because he's not really sorry for kissing Spar, even if it is awkward.
Mm-hmm. Spar is not looking at Vellum. Spar is looking anywhere but Vellum. Mm.
Good times. Good times.
All right. So, yeah, you arrive at the Whittlesby Watermill, and I assume you guys, I don't know, someone knocks on the door.
I think Spar stands next to Vellum for a minute, just kind of looking at the door.
We could come back later.
No, we're already here, and your leg, I don't want to make you walk pointlessly. Yeah, he says, and starts up the steps.
Okay.
And as soon as you guys reach the door, Anya's voice is heard from within. She says, you two can let yourself in.
Thanks. Spar does.
Yeah, I don't imagine Clovenheart's a real lock-your-doors kind of town, so, yeah, it's unlocked. You guys can just go in.
Vellum will go in as well. I think he will ask if he can use their washroom for a moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Carnation escorts you to the washroom.
Aww.
Vellum will go splash water in his face and just try to, like, calm down and stop panicking because he totally didn't make this awkward. It's gonna be fine. Spar said it was gonna be fine. It's just stress kissing. Sure. That's what it was.
There's a section for it in the field manual, the field agent manual handbook.
He doesn't have one of those, so he doesn't know for sure. He should really get one of those if he's going to be a field agent now. Maybe he won't be a field agent anymore. Maybe this is just a one-time thing. And those kind of, you know, spiraling thoughts a little bit.
Spar, if you kind of enter the living room, you can see into the kitchen. And Anya is standing on a little step stool and gently preparing some tea. There are actually three teapots on the little stove.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, when you see Anya just working, like, actually, can you flip charm empathy?
Okay, so charm is 2 and empathy is 4, so that would be 6. 1 for healthy is 7, and then 1 for my week-long bonus is 8.
Wow.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. All right, cool beans. 1 joker.
Okay.
1 king. 1 queen of hearts. Okay. So that is 3, 4 successes and 1 joker.
Okay. For the 4 successes, I mean, there is just a, I don't know if levity is the right word, but levity. There was a burden on her that is visibly lifted from her as she is making this tea. You know, it reminds me, you maybe more of the Anya you knew when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think the Joker should be?
So Spar is mentally reviewing the field agent handbook, mm-hmm. Section by section. It's like section 3D, always clean your weapon before you holster, and is like very pointedly focused. Mm-hmm. I think if Anya makes a crack about him and Vellum, that's not her using her clairvoyance, but seems like it might be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, she just says, is everything all right between you and Agent Vellum?
Yes, great, perfect, wonderful. Why would you, everything, it, how is Kurt?
Good, good, really good. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. Well, I wanted to thank the both of you together, but thank you. I put on some oolong tea for you. I don't know what Agent Vellum likes. He can help himself to the oolong, but I also made chamomile and Earl Grey just in case. Hopefully one of those three works for him.
I think probably all three. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
He's not thinking about Agent Vellum drinking any, mm-hmm. not thinking about Agent Vellum's mouth. He's mm-hmm. not.
Mm-hmm.
He's
and on,
definitely not.
Anya's like, I think you might need some tea to calm your nerves, Merrim.
I, nerves, what, who nerves? I would love some tea, thank you.
I don't need my insight to know that you are a mess.
Well,
but I will do you the kindness of not bringing it up in other people's company.
Thank you. That's more than I deserve.
Eh, I don't know about that. You did great work. Seriously. Suits was right to hire you, and they clearly benefit from your employ.
Thank you.
I actually got you something last time I was in town. I would say Spartus knows this, like, Josepha and Anya, like, have actual jobs in Cindershore, so they make money, but they have no use for money, so they tend to be the ones who, like, buy things for the people of Clovenheart they might need that they can't produce in town and just distribute it amongst the townsfolk, essentially. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, so when I was on my last shopping trip, I saw something that made me think of you. I was gonna actually send them to you, and then everything with Kurt, I got, obviously, pretty distracted. But I can give them to you in person, which is nice. And there's two boxes on, like, little boxes on like a coffee table in front of the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, gift wrapped with little ribbons on them, and they one says Callan and one says Merrim.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Vellum will walk back into the room.
Okay. It says, oh, Agent Vellum, welcome back. I made three kinds of teas. I have some oolong here, some chamomile, some Earl Grey. You can help yourself. Thank you guys again. Kurt does want to see you too, but I want to talk to you to both before you see him.
Okay.
Of course.
Thank you. Vellum will go and get himself some Earl Grey.
Okay. Spar, can you flip Wit Arcana for me?
Maybe. I'll think about it. How do character sheets work again?
Who knows?
Okay, Wit is 4. Arcana is 2 after leveling up. Mm-hmm, plus 1 mm-hmm. for healthy is 4, 6, 7. 2, 3, 7. Okay. I pulled the 3 of hearts, which is another crit, so that's 3 successes.
Wow.
Plus a jack, which is 4 successes, and a king to make 5 successes, please.
And are you counting your charm bonus for your crit? Because it would affect that too.
Oh, I was not. I was just counting it for actual charm.
Yeah, no, it is. If your charm goes up, your crit goes up, so.
Dang. Okay, oh, then wow. I will pull. No, then that just makes 1 more success. So that's 6 successes.
Okay, that's a lot of successes.
Yes.
That is.
And that makes the last one I pulled also
an extra success, yeah.
Yeah, which is, yeah.
Too late. Okay, so.
Well, I think I already got, like, max info out of that one anyway.
Yeah. So, you sense just a different magical signal than you expected to when you came in here
mm-hmm.
with your little special hearing. And so there's, obviously, Anya's altered.
Mm-hmm.
But then coming from the other end of the house, where, you know, Kurt probably is,
mm-hmm.
it just feels louder and different than you expected it to.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely different than it did last time you were near him.
Mm-hmm.
As in last time Spara was near him?
Like yesterday.
A few hours ago? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Anya also says that she's, like, setting tea on the coffee table. Oh, she has little coasters. It's a cute little coaster for Anya.
Little faces of carnation?
Yes. Well, one is a little face of carnation, and the other one is, like, some scales of justice.
Good.
Consider also, if she has a set that's sunflowers and marigolds mm-hmm. and carnations.
Yes.
And whatever flower she associates with Kurt, I don't know.
That's cute. So, the listeners can picture whichever of these coasters they would like. It's one of them for sure. Okay. So Anya says, oh, Jasper stopped by a few minutes ago wondering after the two of you. They were just asking if you were okay since you didn't return to their place last night. Seemed concerned. And they said that if their presence is a bother to you, they expect to be out of town the next couple of days. So feel and you're welcome into their home.
Did they happen to say where they were going?
I didn't ask.
Hmm.
No, they didn't offer.
Okay.
Aside from them being out of their house, did anything seem different about them?
They seem nervous about something, but I've not really talked to Jasper in a long time. I couldn't say if they were acting different than usual. Certainly different than the Jasper we grew up with, but that's all.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you picked anything up.
No, sorry.
That's okay.
Do you just have to take a seat on the couch, or what's the sitting situation?
What does Anya do?
Waits for you two to settle before deciding.
What does Vel do?
I think Vel's gonna just stand there holding his little teacup.
Spar is also standing holding his teacup.
Anya, take a seat on the couch.
Excellent.
Would either you like to take a seat? There, she gestures to like other chairs, like one in the kitchen. There's a little like basically a footstool that you could sit on across from the coffee table. Yeah. No one takes a seat, huh?
When she says that, I think Vellum will opt to take the chair.
Okay.
Spar will take the footstool.
Okay. She has Carnation clamber up on the couch beside her.
Yeah.
She pushes the gifts on the table toward each of you and says, I would like to start this with some levity before we get to... I mean, everything's good. Kurt's doing well, but obviously... a lot remains unknown.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer... Look, I spoke to my brother. He wanted to speak about what had happened. And obviously I could feel a lot that wasn't said. And her mouth, like, twists at this, and she just says, I don't want him to have to talk about that any more than he has to.
Of course.
He told me much. I would rather his sort of debrief interrogation, whatever you want to call it, go through me. And if you feel you have to talk to him further, that's fine. I think he would prefer to have just a nice conversation with someone.
Can I flip wit empathy to see? I want to know if this is Anya genuinely trying to protect her brother, or if there's information that she's trying to filter out and, like, conceal from us. So wit is 4, empathy is 4, healthy is 5, and does this count?
I'll let investigation count.
Yeah, it's empathy and investigation are the same number of dots.
Yeah.
So 4, 4, 8, 1 for healthy, 1 for sleuthing is 9.
I think it makes sense for sleuthing to work on maybe a broader number of things than the description says.
9. Yeah, it says all investigation and combat.
Right.
I guess, yeah.
This is a kind of investigation.
I'm attempting to investigate, basically. So that is an ace, a queen, and a jack. 3 successes, please.
Alrighty. Coming right up. Yeah, it doesn't seem... suspicious. It does seem like she genuinely, like, she seemed pretty distraught when she said, you know, she talked to her brother and she felt what he felt, and she just doesn't want him to go through that.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you guys open your gifts?
Yeah.
Okay. As Vellum, like, goes to open his, she says, there's some explanation for that. I came across it a long time ago when I was doing research, and honestly, I forgot I had it until this morning, and it belongs to you.
Okay. He's very curious now, and
You open it?
Yeah, we open it.
You find a small photo of Vellum as a child and their parents.
Wow.
Taken probably a couple of days before the incident.
Where did you find this?
It was taken as evidence, you know, after everything that happened, and I guess it never got sent where it belonged. So I'm fixing that.
Thank you.
Spar looks over at Vellum and is not going to ask in front of Anya, but is making a face that clearly says, like, hey, are you okay?
I think Vellum sniffs and, like, wipes a tear from his eye and nods.
She says, I know it's sort of a heavy gift, but I figured it was one you'd want to have.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
She nods. It's funny the difference in, like, the seriousness of the gifts, because when Spar opens his box, it's a pair of socks with marigolds on them.
Aww.
And Spar opens them and blushes a little bit. And thank you, Anya. I more than usual, I can use clothing gifts. So these will be actively helpful to the investigation.
We should really talk to Jack about getting you a shirt stipend.
Spar's mouth does several things, and there is not a montage of images of Vellum, like, tenderly dressing Spar, mm-hmm. flashing through his mm-hmm. mind mm-hmm. for Anya to see right
definitely
there.
Definitely not. Mm-hmm.
Definitely not. He nods and is like, yes. Shirt, yes.
Anya, like, grins into her tea if she takes a sip of it.
Stipend. I'll submit a request. There's forms for that.
Absolutely. There's forms for everything.
Love a form. Love to submit a form.
Anya says, I find that impossible to believe.
I think I wrote most of them.
That explains why they're very clear and easy to follow. Thank you, Aether Column, for your service. Spar's thinking, fuck, just stop talking.
Vellum nods, like, not saying you're welcome, but also not knowing what else to say. Just like, yep.
Mm-hmm. Anya sips her tea aggressively. Good afternoon, morning, or evening, folks. This is your host, Jordan Quiverns. I am the wingman, GM, and god of this world. Both the podcast world and the real one. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Well, this is Three of Hearts. You probably know that. We are a Space Kings TTRPG podcast. Space Kings is a fun game, and if you want to learn more about it, you can go to spacekings.space. It's created by Kevin Cole and Super Try Studios. Can you tell I haven't done a intro in a while? If you want to find me on social media, I'm at Jordan Quiverns and linked in the description. And my pronouns are they, them. And that's all the things I say in the intro.
Excellent. Good job.
Thanks.
This is Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. I play Agent Vellum. He and I both use he and they pronouns. All the music is by Louis Zong. You can find their music at louiszong.com or on Twitter at EverydayLouis. The songs that we use are Dogtective for the intro, At Last a Piano for the midtro, and Ghost Plus Guest for the outro.
Hi, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I play Agent Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns. You can find the show at Three Hearts Cast on Twitter and Instagram, where you can follow us for updates about when there's a new episode or something cool we want to share, or just to come hang out. We love that. You can also find us on patreon.com/threeheartscast, T-H-R-E-E, spelled out, where you can find things like outtakes. You can find us playing A Quiet Year about the foundation of Vasa Natura. You can find us just generally sharing other cool behind the scenes and wacky things. And we would love it so much if you'd be able to toss us a little bit of money. It does cost us a little bit to produce the show with things like editing software and hosting. So if you can help, we love that. If you can't help, we love that anyway. Thank you for being here. You can find me online at SA Hex.
Okay, I want to start all this off by saying, amazingly, I can say pretty concretely that Merafina somehow has access to magic and biomancy. Because his recovery has been amazing, but also there were side effects. Fairly significant ones.
Is he okay?
He's fine. He's just different.
Good different?
That's for him to say.
Okay.
But, I mean, the recovery is miraculous. He still needs to rest. He's malnourished. But he's gonna be okay.
I'm glad to hear it.
Do you guys know how it's possible that she can do that?
Spar looks at Vellum.
I'm not exactly sure how magic works in our current world, but I do believe that it still exists here, even if it is harder to access.
Right.
The untethering didn't untether everything, I think. And Spar's thinking back to the... Did Spar have this vision? Somebody had a vision.
You had a dream where, like, something was, like, something gross was, like, holding the strands of magic, like, to the world still. Anya nods and says, well, if you learn anything concrete, there's a young woman, Natalia, and she... I'm not going to go into all the details, but she is unjustly behind bars. And if I could prove that magic still exists, that biomancy is feasible, I could exonerate her.
Spark. Not. That seems like it would fit under our mandate of investigation of thaumaturgic events.
She nods.
He is, like, looking at the ceiling doing moral calculations of, like, okay, so Merafina, this probably doesn't fall under Merafina's thing. This is, like, I think it'll be okay. Okay, check with, no, better ask forgiveness and permission. And then files it under, like, okay, if we find out, we will tell Anya and go from there.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, Anya just leaves it at, that case came to a great personal cost for me and still didn't work out the way I wanted it to, and I just want to set that girl free. So it would be good. But
of course,
let's talk about the matter at hand. Kurt, I mean, I don't know what you two already know, what you two want to maybe know. I know more than I'd like, so what's up?
What does Kurt remember about what's happened to him?
He doesn't remember how he ended up in that silo. The last thing he remembers, he's been trying to go back to the gym he used to train at. He just can't find, I mean, Agent Vellum, I don't know what you know, but Kurt was a wrestler and had a severe injury that to his leg that he can't wrestle anymore. And he's been trying to exercise again, go back to the gym, and it's just been hard for him. That's where he discovered his love for the sport. He was trying again. He was walking out to the gym. It was evening and never came back home. Doesn't remember making it to the gym. Besides that, I mean, he came in and out of consciousness as blood was taken from him. And his body was, you know, skin samples. He was experimented upon. He doesn't know to what end, but he is fairly insistent that the culprit is Arabella Moonthistle, who he says is not only alive, but severely altered.
In what way?
He said she was... He could barely remember it, but he said it was a very upsetting visage. She had one eye now. Her mouth was wrong. She didn't seem to be able to speak.
Does he remember anyone else or just Arabella?
He says he believes others came and went, but he never saw them.
Had he ever met Arabella before?
No. He's never
okay.
seen her in person, but he's seen depictions.
I believe what he says, but I do wonder if magic is real, if it's possible someone made themselves look like Arabella.
Anya nods.
How does Diamond fit into any of this? When's the last time he remembers seeing Diamond?
The night before he went missing. I mentioned our suspicion of her involvement. He won't really hear it. He doesn't believe it. But he does have a key to her hotel room in Cinder Shore. She keeps it they keep it rented at all times. And he's offered it. Like, he certainly doesn't want to believe that they are involved, but he does want to know what happened to him.
Vellum looks to Spar. He wants to ask Anya if she knows anything about the other people that have gone missing. But he doesn't know if he should ask or not, or if they should stay quiet about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much of that maybe Spar gets.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what does Vellum do to communicate this?
Spar, what do you think about what your aunt told us? Do you think it could be relevant to this case?
I'm so sorry, Ela. Spar is like spinning through many things his aunt have said in the past 2 days.
Completely valid and fair.
I think for Spar, actually, top of mind is Lunavella aging. And so he's like trying to put those things seem like they almost fit, right? Like harm done, mysterious circumstances, not understanding, magic, ? So Spar just kind of makes a confused face and is like, if you think it's hopeful, I think Anya's discretion can be trusted.
She says, I will extend lawyer-client privilege to this discussion.
I appreciate that. We heard that there are others that have gone missing from the town.
Yes, I've heard that too.
Anyone that you have known personally?
Well, I mean, we all sort of know each other. So, yes, I know of them. I couldn't tell you why I didn't bring it up before. It didn't occur to me for some reason. But there's talk of people, not a lot of them, but some of them people think might have just left the town of their own volition because they either didn't like it here or some other trauma leading them to act maybe a little bit rash. Let me flip something for Anya. Hold on. I'm playing a game too, baby. Okay. Anya got a queen of hearts and a king. And she says, I don't know if it's related to Kurt. I would think yes, honestly. Unfortunately, because I don't know what that means for the people who've gone missing. There's a strange connection that I don't want to say is correct. But all of them were pretty invested in Bridge.
How were they invested? Is there like a equivalent to a clergy?
Yes. Now, I may be one of the few people in town who's not particularly invested in it, but Kurt is, and I go for him. And, you know, it brings a joy to the town I haven't seen in a while, honestly. But yes, there are clergy. She does like the vocal equivalent of rolling your eyes when she says that they call them jacks.
Hmm.
I see.
This is essay's noise of mmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they just try to, you know, spread the good word, I suppose. There's even talks of setting up something in Cindershore. I don't know. I don't pay that much attention to it. But yes, several of the people who've gone missing were jacks.
Several of them were jacks, and all of them you saw at Bridge at one point or another?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anyone from town that you specifically haven't seen at Bridge?
Well, Jasper doesn't attend, but Mayor Thorne apparently goes and gives, like, one-on-one Bridge sermons to Jasper, which is really kind of funny to picture. And other than that, not really. I mean, not everyone goes every week, mind you, but I don't know anyone who's, like, against it.
What about Marafina?
Oh, no. No. Marafina, I mean, is only very tangentially what I would call a citizen of Clovenheart. I mean, she's invested in the town in her own way, but she's not sociable.
Spar snorts a little bit. Like, yeah. Let's say that again. Jordan, I saw it when I was flipping through my notes, but now I don't see it. The gym that Kurt goes to burn down?
It didn't burn down, but someone did. There was a fire there. I think it was stopped.
Okay, and when was that?
The night Kurt went missing.
Okay.
Actually, Anya's thinking about people who have gone to, you know, Bridge and who haven't and stuff. And she's like, even Teratheus attended a couple sessions, which was, those ones were outdoors.
Are they not usually outdoors?
Well, they're in a tent normally.
Okay. I was thinking of the, that Bridge was held in the same place that the concert was, but I think that was...
No.
Yeah.
Nope. Okay. Nope.
And when did Bridge start being a thing here?
The last couple of years, maybe. She kind of like drums her fingers against the arm of the couch. 4 years ago?
Essay's making note of this because Sorrel remembers Mayor Thorne starting to show up in conversation about 3 years ago.
So Bridge preceded him? Because I thought he was the one that brought Bridge.
He's the most evangelical about Bridge. Okay. But no, Jordan will give this to you. Those events should actually coincide more, so she'll say 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
She says... Yeah, it started out really small. I would say probably last year it really gained traction. No, for no particular reason other than, you know, I don't know, word got out. People decided it was fun, wanted to do yoga.
Besides Kurt, who's the most involved in Bridge right now?
That's a good question. Well, obviously Mayor Thorne.
Of course.
Honestly, Brunhilde and Joaquin are pretty enthusiastic about it.
When it first came to town, who were the first people to get really attached to it?
Actually, the whole Felspar family were big fans. Luna Vella, maybe not evangelical, but she found it very calming. And I don't know, something about it appealed to her.
Remind me, this is Ela. Was it Brunhilde or Luna Velda that was having, like, health problems?
Luna Vella.
Okay.
You think Bridge is related to all this? I mean, I guess it seems plausible.
Sorrel also doesn't remember Marathorn.
Anya, like, almost drops her teacup at that and is like, oh.
Spar darts forward as if to catch it. Which upsets his own teacup. He had his teacup on one knee and was taking notes in his detective notepad on the other.
No!
Oh, no.
Can you call? Hold on. What are you flipping? Can you flip agility athletics to see how that goes?
Yes. Agility panache seems like it would maybe be more.
Oh, love it. Love it.
It's fewer dots, but I think the more appropriate.
Yeah, no, I dig it.
Okay. Agility is 3, panache is temporarily 1 for this week. Mm-hmm. So that's 4, and healthy is 5.
Okay.
3 successes, 3 of my 4 aces.
Wow. Yeah, so you catch your teacup, no problem. Everyone is impressed.
And Anya's teacup?
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. All the tea is where it belongs.
Okay.
Except for the tea about Bryn, which is being spilled. She says, you don't remember, like, neither of you remember Mare Thorn?
So, Spar clears his throat and, like, sort of angles himself. So he's talking, you know, both to Vellum and Anya, whereas before he had been kind of focused on Anya.
Uh-huh.
There are things that are missing in my memory, which is a normal thing, I think, honestly, for someone, you know, I was trying real hard for that. I got nothing.
Someone who gets hit in the head so much as Spar.
That's what I was going to say, but it started when he was a kiddo. So, you know, sometimes things happen. And I thought mostly it was related to the untethering, but apparently it's not just that. I don't remember Mare Thorn, but he seems to know everything about me and my family. And when I talked to Sorrel about it, she also doesn't remember him. So this one's not just me. The untethering thing, probably just me.
Okay, but this doesn't seem like a memory problem thing if it's also affecting, if Sorrel doesn't remember him either. That's a whole person who was there for a lot of your guys' lives, your entire childhood, that you just don't remember.
Or it's a whole person who was not there for any part of our childhood, but who you remember being there.
Either one of these options is fairly concerning.
Yeah, in any case, I feel somewhat vindicated in my judgment of that cheerful.
So Anya sets her tea down and she's like, her breathing quickens. Like, she's like, it almost seems just like having a panic attack. And she, like, leans back into the couch and, like, tries to stabilize herself. And it's just like, Spar, the moment you said that, I mean, I know a truth when I hear it. And that's the truth.
Spar goes to sit on the couch next to her and squeezes her hands.
Carnation makes room for you.
The truth being that
he was not there for her childhood. For Spar, I don't understand. I used to work in Jasper's bakery. He was the one who got me to start working there.
Does Jasper have a bakery?
Jasper had a bakery.
When?
In the past. Like, in your guys' childhood. Yeah, Jasper's mentioned she's into baking. It's like her hobby outside of magic. Their hobby outside of magic.
Okay, so anyway, what was Anya saying about...
She just said that he helped her get that job. And she's like, oh, how did I... Or he suggested she work there. Mm-hmm. And she's like, how did I... I mean... And Spar, you remember that it was actually Luna Vella's idea that she go and work there.
I assume that Anya having panic attacks was something that happened, possibly started happening after she was altered.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so he is falling back on whatever the habits are that, like, soothed her then.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, whether that's, like, tapping on the back of her hands or, like, rubbing her back.
I think rubbing the back is, that's kind of what I was picturing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Spar's rubbing her back as he says, like, no, that was Luna Vella.
She clenches her fist as she steadies her breathing. And She nods and says, I remember that. I remember that. But I also remember Marathorn, and I don't know what the hell that means.
I think we've got a lot more questions than we have answers.
But at least we're starting to learn the questions to ask.
Hmm.
You know who else was involved in Bridge? Diamond.
Really?
Hmm.
Yes.
How?
I would say the biggest expansion of Bridge in Clovenheart coincides with their stay here.
Like a year ago?
Like I said, it's grown over the last year, but in the last couple of months, it's really exploded.
Okay.
Remind the listeners, because I definitely remember. a couple few episodes ago, when Spar and Vel went to look up the photos of the founding of Clovenheart.
Marathorn was there.
We looked at pictures at the Felspar residence. Have we looked at the ones like in the town building or anything?
I don't think so. But what was Essay's question?
I thought it was either, but not as prominently, or there was something about...
No, I think it was pretty normal.
Okay, and what about Diamond?
No, not really present. Not present in the photos.
Okay. Would Diamond and Lunavella have been together at the founding?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you would have expected Diamond to be...
It would make sense, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Anya says... So you guys are going to question Diamond before they get out of Cindershore, right? If they're even sticking around, they fled at Clovenheart pretty fucking fast.
Yeah, they are absolutely a person of interest.
I want to go with you guys when you question them.
Do you think that's a good idea?
Yes. Spar, I'm a halfling lie detector. I'll know bullshit when I smell it. I don't even have to do any of the talking. I just want to be there. You can hide me in a duffel bag if you need to. Like, I just want to be in the room.
Spar shoots a look at Vellum to see what face he's making about this.
Vellum is considering it. Like, there could definitely be some benefit if she can suss out a lie that well. But at the same time, you know, if Diamond's involved with what happened to Kurt... There's a bit of a conflict of interest there, and we don't want Diamond to start getting into a fight with Anya.
Which, to be fair, you've witnessed before.
Yeah, I think the last time they interacted was them fighting in public.
Mm-hmm.
So Spar says, I promise you, if there's a way to do it safely, we will.
Okay, just let me at least go to Cindershore with you guys.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Vellum, sorry I make you do this so often. Could you give me and Spar a moment?
Of course.
Thank you.
Would it be okay if I said hello to Kurt?
Yes, of course. I think he would like that.
Okay. So Vellum will head that way, and even if, like, nothing important happens, he wants to go and see Kurt and make sure he's doing okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Carnation follows you, Vellum.
Yeah.
Anya is kind of shuddering, I think, like, in Spar's arm. I mean, his arm's, like, kind of around her, right? To be, like, rubbing her back. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks a lot that I can feel like crying, but I can't cry. Something else I want to tell you. It might upset you, but I don't mean it in a bad way. There's a million explanations for this, but hear me out before you react, okay?
Okay.
Kurt mentioned that one of the people that was there with Arabella at some point. He heard them talking, and he didn't recognize who they were talking to, but the two of them mentioned a benefactor. It sounded like someone funding whatever the evil work they were conducting.
Okay.
Kurt also knows from his time brushing elbows with some of the upper crust of Fossa Natura, that Gray Harrington and Arabella Moonthistle got along pretty well back when she was around. I mean, there are pictures of them together in the Harrington estate, which he's been invited to lunch at once or twice. Now, I'm not accusing anyone of anything, but as soon... It was Kurt. Kurt's the one who said it. Kurt said, Gray is a funder of suits. They could probably pull some strings and decide who gets sent on a mission. And it's weird that Vellum is here. I don't know that Vellum is involved in whatever has happened, but as soon as Kurt suggested that Gray sent Vellum here for a reason, I knew it was true in the way that I know things are true. And I'm trying not to think that that means anything, that Vellum is being duplicitous. But it's also hard not to jump to that conclusion. Just keep an eye on him. That's what Carnation's doing right now.
Your pig is spying on my partner?
He's a very smart pig. You know this.
No, I just needed to say those words out loud in that.
Yeah, order. No, I get it.
Yeah, okay.
Just keep an open mind. I'm not telling you don't trust your partner, because obviously you have to trust your partner.
He's strongly thinking of the kiss.
That's it. Obviously, I don't mean any ill will. I wouldn't have given him that photo. I mean, I would have. It's the right thing to do. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to... I like Vellum. I think you two are sweet. But that's it. I said my piece. I need a nap.
Yeah. Spar will tip her down so she's laying down on the couch, mm-hmm. and pull a blanket off the back of the couch and tuck her in.
Aw.
Well, I'll be the first to tell you that you're not your parents, so...
No, of course. Of course.
Hmm. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for trusting me.
Mm-hmm.
And for the socks.
She smiles and says, Spar, maybe... You hate to hear this, but you're more like your parents than you want to be.
It's not that I don't want to be like them. It's that I wish anyone in this stupid fucking town would see me instead of seeing them. Being like them and being them aren't the same thing.
Of course. And I mean, I hope you know that I do.
He... nods. Not that she can see that.
Mm-hmm.
And like squeezes her shoulder a little bit.
All right, go relieve my pig of his duties. If I pass out, you guys have the reign of the house. Just don't break anything.
No promises, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, well, you were very adept with those teacups. I trust you.
I've been practicing. He pats her and then gets up to go to Kurt's room.
Okay. Vellum, you get into Kurt's room. It is pretty sparse. I mean, you don't know this exactly, but Spar kind of would when he comes in, so I'll say it now. It's just that, like, you know, so Kurt moved to Vossa Natura not that long after Spar did to go pursue a wrestling career, and only came back after his injury, and he took everything with him to Vossa Natura, and he did never, he just has not taken the time to redecorate his room in like the year plus that he's been back. So Kurt is on his bed with little like wedge pillows to keep his back and legs elevated, and first thing you notice is that he looks a lot better than last time you saw him. His head is intact.
Mm-hmm.
His head is also a lot different because Kurt now has a panther's head.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Body of a halfling boy. Gills like he had before. And just the head of a panther.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, panthers are one of the large cats that enjoy water, so that works out.
I will link them in the description of this episode, but I used a random potion effect generator table to decide what happened to Kurt.
Oh, wow.
It was a random animal head of my choice, but I'm like, I don't want this power. So then I rolled a D100 on a random animal table and got a panther. Hmm. So that is how we got here.
Does Kurt have other... aquatic features? Like, are his fingers webbed or things like that?
His fingers are webbed. His fingers are webbed. He has little, like, on his shoulders has, like, little fins.
Okay.
Cool, cool.
Yep. Toes are also webbed.
When Vellum goes, is he awake? Is mm-hmm. he dozing? Okay.
He's awake. Well, probably was dozing, but wakes up when you enter and says, hi.
Hi. I hope I'm not disturbing your rest.
No. No.
My name is Cowlin Vellum. I don't know if you've ever seen me before. I know.
Well, I saw you when you saved me. I mean, that's all a little fuzzy, but I did see that.
Yeah.
I've been in your uncle's place.
Okay, so you may have seen a picture or two before.
Yeah, and of course, my sister's... I read her paper.
Oh.
Which is maybe very personal, which I apologize, but...
Vellum's getting the real Clovenheart experience, TM.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I... that was kind of rude.
No. No, you're okay.
But thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm glad that we were able to help, and I hope we can really figure out the details of what happened and stop it from happening to someone else.
Yeah. I hope so, too. You know, you rode those hover cars pretty well for someone who's new to Clovenheart, so props to that.
Thank you. I've definitely got some experience in them now, and they are quite enjoyable. Much, much better than walking around, and he gestures to his leg and his cane.
Mm-hmm. And way cooler than, like, the cars they have in Bossa Natura, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That was the number one thing I missed about home when I was in Bossa Natura. I was like, where are all the hover cars? They're in Clovenheart. That's where. I'll say around this time Spar can enter the room.
Spar comes in and is like, hey, Minna. Oh, hey. That's different.
Yeah. Hey. Do you think there's some kind of minnow and meow pun that we can put together for my name?
Minnow?
I don't like it. Minnow's fine.
I'll workshop it.
I've got a new look.
I like it.
Thank you. I'm going to be a kick-ass wrestler when I get, you know, if I ever get back in the game.
When you get back in the game.
When I get back in the game. I was actually thinking, like, I mean, not that anything that I've experienced in the last week has been recommendable, but I think Merafina, like, helped my leg a little bit. I don't really know till I'm up and walking, but I think so.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. You thinking about coming back to Vossa Natura?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm sort of thinking about the next 30 minutes.
Yeah, of course.
But that sounds appealing, yes. Although, I don't know. Anya's by herself now. We'll cross certain bridges when we get there.
Spar almost flinches at the word bridge.
That's funny.
He nods. You know she's always welcome over at the Felspar house. They would love to have her.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Anyway, thank you guys. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think they particularly cared if I survived whatever they were doing there, so I'm glad that you got me out.
Yeah, no, I'm glad too. Anya mentioned that you wanted to talk to us. Is there anything specific?
No, I mean, I wanted to see you and say hey and thank you.
Hey.
Show you my new haircut.
It looks good on you, kid.
Oh, thank you. Never again will someone from a distance be like, I just can't tell if that's the Whittlesby family.
I mean, that was really a problem with your marketing, was not being unique enough.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You're going to have to do a total rebrand.
Yeah, Anglerfish thing is not going to work out anymore.
Mm-mm.
I'll figure it out.
It'll make your old merch collectible.
Yeah, that's true.
A new era.
New era.
The era of the pantherfish.
That's it. You got it in one, Agent Vellum. He kind of laughs and says, so do you need any help? I mean, help that can be acquired from this bed. If you guys need help opening like a jar of peanut butter, like I can't. Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, I mean, that's what Carnation's for.
Yes. Having not met them before, I was wondering if you could tell me a bit about Diamond.
Okay. Yeah. So they're interesting. I don't mean that in a bad way. Sometimes people say, oh, that's a very interesting haircut. And like they mean that they hate it. It's not like that. I like Diamond a lot. Mm. They're very straightforward. They lived a long time. They have a lot of experience with the world. They're very knowledgeable. But they're also very, like, compassionate. They're interested in other people. You know, we talked a lot about what brought me back to Clovenheart and about my family and... I don't know, like... I mean, you know how it is, Spar. Like, sometimes when you're in Clovenheart, you get tired of talking to the same people all the time and you just want someone new to bond with. And, you know, they were that for me. I needed a stranger to talk to, and then they became not a stranger. And I mean, I don't know what you're looking for exactly. I think that they're a pretty straight shooter. They speak their mind. I mean, a little bit of a narcissist, but what performer isn't?
You said that you talked about what brought them back to Clovenheart.
What brought me back to Clovenheart?
Oh, what brought you back to Clovenheart? Sure, of course.
My wrestling career. They never really talked about what brought them back to Clovenheart. Well, that's not true. They did a little bit. As much as they like their fame, sometimes it gets annoying going somewhere where everyone makes a big deal about your existence. And not that there was none of that in Clovenheart, but they mostly, I mean, they stayed at Jasper's place for a while, kind of kept to themselves, and they were able to have a quiet life, I think, for the first time in a long time. And sometimes that's valuable.
Do you know why they stopped staying with Jasper?
Well, yes and no. I know they got in a fight.
Do you know what about?
Kind of, yeah. Diamond... Well, I should guess. Diamond didn't want to talk about it. But Diamond has pretty strong feelings that the world was better when magic was in it. Mm-hmm. They think that it was wrong of... Even if it was to defeat Morpholomew, that it was wrong to take magic from the world without discussing that with anyone. You know, four people made a choice that altered society forever. Diamond, that didn't sit well with Diamond. And If that came up with Jasper, I imagine that didn't go over well.
Did you ever visit Diamond when they were staying with Jasper?
Yeah.
Was anything weird at with Jasper's house?
Weird in what way?
Did they mention a insect infestation or anything?
Or rooms that were off limits, or ominous creaking? Weird lasagna?
I mean, there was regular lasagna. Let me think. No, I mean, I stayed. They asked that I stay out of their lab, which I think is pretty normal. That was it. Mm-hmm. No insect infestation. I mostly stuck around in Diamond's room. I wasn't, like, poking around, you know?
Which room did they give Diamond?
A guest room in the whatever wing is closed off currently.
Thank you, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Spar would know this, so this is out of character asking, where is Jasper's lab?
I think not terribly far from where you guys are staying, actually. Second floor... There's sort of a long hallway. You guys are staying on that hallway. The end of the hallway is the lab kind of thing.
Okay.
Like, if you take the whole manor, the very center of the second floor is where the lab is.
Okay.
Is Jasper a suspect? I mean, I guess they were close with Arabella. Makes sense.
We're trying to follow all the leads, and we noticed Jasper acting a little strangely. So we're just following up on that.
He nods.
Do you know anything about the crops that turned to stone?
He looks at you like you just spoke a foreign language. He's like, here?
In the wheat field.
No. No.
It happened the same night you went missing.
Oh.
Do you know about crops that's turned to stone elsewhere?
No.
Okay.
It was just a very broad question, and I didn't know what was being asked.
Right, okay.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. That's very weird.
Totally unrelated. Can you tell us about how you got involved with Bridge?
Yeah. Do you want specifics? I don't. I guess it's an interesting question. I think Bridge has some implications that there's a finite amount of suffering, or at least that if you live in moderation, you can limit your misfortune. And I think that to a lot of people in Clovenheart, not all of us have sad stories, but a lot of us do. And I think Bridge appeals to this town for that reason. That maybe if we just stick to our simple lives here, our suffering can stay in the past.
Mm-hmm. It seems like you've become something of a leader in the church?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
I guess I'm curious about how you initially got involved and how you came to lead the church.
Spar, flip charm or presence and persuasion.
Okay. Charm and presence are both two. I'll take charm because I get a bonus to that right now.
Yep.
So two for charm, two for persuasion. So that's four, one for healthy and one for my weekly bonus is six.
Okay.
And I've pulled so many face cards already, so.
You keep calling it a temporary bonus, but like if this campaign goes on more than a week with the rate it's going at now, I'll be stunned.
16 years in the future. Okay, I've pulled one Vanilla Queen, one King, and one Joker.
Okay. Oh, so that's two successes and a Joker?
Two successes and a Joker, please.
Okay. Coming right up. Just take this little placard, put it at your table, and we'll deliver it in a jiffy. What was your question exactly? I'm sorry.
It was something like, tell us about how you got involved in the church and then about how you came to lead it.
Got it. I mean, involved is easy. I pretty much told you why it appealed to me. And I mean, Anya suggested it, honestly. I was sort of a layabout when I returned to town. And she thought it might do me some good to get out of the house, have some community. And she was right. I took to it pretty quickly. Not to mention, I think the stretching was good for me. Leadership, it's complicated because it's a little bit informal. You know, there are places where Bridge has had larger, I don't know what to call it, but a larger congregation. Clovenheart's only so big, right? Here, it's sort of, leadership sort of happens, right? Like anything in Clovenheart. You grow into the role you want, I suppose.
Did you have a particular mentor or somebody who encouraged you to take, to become more involved in the church?
I guess Diamond.
Diamond was, is involved in Bridge?
Yeah. Even before they came to Clovenheart, actually.
Would you say that your personal connection with Diamond, did that start before your involvement in Bridge or after or at the same time?
I don't really like this line of questioning.
Okay, yeah. We're just trying to get context for everything.
My involvement in Bridge predated Diamond being in town. My time as a leader of Bridge, yes, would have happened along around the time Diamond got here.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any other questions at the moment. If you need to contact us, will we be staying at the Felspar residence now? He looks to the Spar.
Spar nods, yeah, I think so. I think we'll probably be at the Felspar house. I mean, Clovenheart isn't that big. I just lean out the window and holler and
yeah.
Somebody will come get us. Can we get you anything before we leave?
No, I've got a little bell to summon Anya if I need her.
Anya's taking a nap.
I'm really fine. I'm probably just going to follow suit.
Okay. If you think of anything that you think could be important, let us know. But I really appreciate you talking to us, and hopefully we'll figure this all out.
Kurt says, I hope this doesn't impede the investigation too much. I've changed my mind. I don't want to give you guys Diamond's room key.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you guys can knock and talk to them that way, but I think that if you guys go snooping, I don't know. That just doesn't feel right to me.
Sure, that makes sense.
Velum will nod.
Thank you. All right, I'm gonna get some rest. Thank you guys, seriously, and I hope you find out what happened to me.
We'll do everything we can. Spar reaches out as if to ruffle his hair, and then pauses.
He grabs your hand and, like, holds it for a second and says thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Rest up, kid, okay?
He nods.
You gotta get back into fighting shape.
Yeah, I will.
All right.
We'll be sure to be at your first match on your return.
Thank you. You guys will have free tickets. Maybe a whole season if I can arrange that.
Excellent.
Have to clear a wall for the new posters, but we'll be there.
All right. So, do you guys leave the Whittlesby Watermill?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
When you guys are exiting, Anya's asleep, and Carnation is, like, sleeping like a little loaf at the foot of the couch.
Before Agent Velum stepped into Kurt's room, he stopped inside the restroom once more, sitting down on the edge of the tub and pulling out the photograph that Anya had given him. Carnation followed him inside and gave a curious snuffle, and Velum waved Carnation closer, smiling once the animal settled down next to him. It seemed like Agent Felspar wasn't the only one facing his past here in Clovenheart. Cowlin looked at the photograph in his hand. He gently traced the rough and worn edges of the paper with his fingertips. Unconsciously, he was afraid if he touched it too firmly that the image might tear and begin to fall apart, a piece of his past to be lost once again. There were small creases on the surface where the photo had been bent slightly wherever it had been hiding between the time of the investigation until Miss Anya Whittlesby had found it. This image was a brief snapshot from the time he and his parents lived in the small town of Ye Lang. A snapshot before the attack had happened, before his parents had died, and before he had moved in with Uncle Gray. He stared at his parents' faces, tracing over his mother's short curly hair and remembering the texture of it, so unlike his own. She wore a wide grin on her face, laughing while looking at her spouse. There was clean laundry swaying in the breeze on a clothesline as Velum's Oya reached out towards a shirt that the wind had dared to swipe from their hands. Between the two of them was little Cowlin, their Lin-Er. He was the only one standing still in the photograph, a big cheesy grin pointed right at the person taking the photo. Suddenly, other small details came rushing back to Velum. The smell of the soap that his mother always used on their laundry. The feel of the delicately embroidered flowers on his Oya's favorite dress. He wondered if that dress was still tucked away inside a wooden chest that contained nearly all of the Velum family's belongings. Velum allowed himself to cry. Not as much as he wanted to, stifling the noises that got caught in his throat, but not attempting to prevent the hot tears that rolled down his cheeks. At first, they were tears brought up by the painful reminder of the family that he had lost. But after a few moments had passed, they changed into tears of relief. He had this photo now, this small piece of his childhood that he had forgotten, now returned to him. Cowlin startled slightly as he felt Carnation nudging at his leg, leaning against him gently. Velum relaxed, finding the weight a comforting anchor back into the present day. He then reached out to gingerly pet their head. He wasn't sure if pigs liked to be pet, but Carnation didn't seem to mind. He wiped at his cheeks and gave Carnation a small smile that didn't quite reach his eyes. But it would be okay. He would be okay. And he didn't want Carnation to worry about him. And so, Agent Velum slowly stood, tucking the photograph into the inside pocket of his suit jacket, keeping it safe and near his heart. He nodded at Carnation, and together they walked to Kurt Whittlesby's room.